Welcome everyone to Zero's TV and another episode of The Chopping Block. And this week we have Adam Gefford of White Diamond Research. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you for having me, Roger.
What is it you're bringing this week? What is the stock that's on the block? Could you just give us maybe a little bit of background about the name of the company and maybe a tiny bit of its history, its size, etc.?
Well, this gem is perfect for zeros because it is a zero, in my opinion. The name of the company is Global Tech Industries. It's trading on the OTC exchange, and it actually has a hefty market cap of about $400 million. And the reason why I found out about the company is because it's actually been running up a bit. It was trading for a time less than a penny at the beginning of 2020. And then in 2021, it went on a tear with all the other shitco companies. And then recently, about in October of last year, it was trading at 60 cents. And now it's at about $1.60 with about a $400 million market cap. So it's at a juicy level right now. And which I'll go into later, there's a couple catalysts that make it a great timing for a great short right now. I believe it could collapse 50 to 80% at any time.
Could you just give an overview of the thesis? You outlined a few bits and pieces there, maybe just a little bit more. And then what we'll do is we'll maybe dig into some of those bigger points, but just outline, you know, someone's watching this going, why should I care? Really, what's about this company that could be interesting to short? Could you just give that high level overview?
Yeah, well, it's actually pretty simple. This company, over the past 15 plus years, they've put out a bunch of PRs about acquisitions, which are actually all fake. Like none of the acquisitions have ever gone through anything, haven't ever amounted to anything. And the company still only has zero revenues. So that for the past four quarters, the company has reported $0 in revenues. You know, hence it's a zero. What the company has, there's only two executives of the company. There's a CEO named David Reichman, and then the president, Kathy Griffin. And they really don't do anything. All they do is just put out fake PRs of partnerships that never go anywhere. And usually it's a PR, you know, of an acquisition of something that's hot at the time. You know, like, you know, when cannabis was hot, they put out something hot for cannabis. You know, when the energy sector was hot, they put out something energy. Recently they put out a PR, they're going to do some acquisition related to Meta. And so, you know, it's all basically stock promotion. That's all it is.
So they're always trying to get people interested so that people come in and buy the stock in anticipation of something that's going to happen. And that thing never actually happens.
Exactly. They think something's going to happen, like an acquisition is going to happen. They're like, oh, cool, they're making an acquisition of this company. And then usually there's some reason why the acquisition doesn't happen. Often it's because it's a fake company that never existed in the first place. But they come up with some excuse on why the acquisition didn't happen. So like for one of them, they'll say, well, the company wasn't able to give us audited financial statements. Or, you know, a while ago, acquisition did happen, but it was just a bust. I mean, it didn't even produce any revenues or nothing happened with it. So it's constantly nothing's going on.
So, Adam, you talked about these false acquisitions. Could you maybe just outline a couple of those so we can get a feel for what it is that they keep on pretending that they're going to do but then don't do?
GTI, they had no operations from 2002 to 2007. Now, starting from 2007 all the way to now, to today, 2022, they kept on making deals with companies that never failed to generate anything. So, for example, in 2007, way at the beginning, they were going to acquire Ludacris, which is a developer of technology for the communications industry. Ludacris's main asset was something called NetThruster that ended up not generating any revenues at all, and the company was going to just spin it off into another company. But that never happened either. Super Green Energy, Super Green Energy, was an acquisition that was going to happen in 2021. Now, this was a company that has different kinds of renewable energy. And the thing is, we looked at the company, at the website. When they had a phone number, it didn't work. The office is a virtual building that if you look it up on Google, their company isn't even listed. So it's basically, it's a fake company. And it turned out that the acquisition was canceled because We Super Green wasn't able to produce any audited financial statements. And then recently, in March of this month, there's a couple other acquisition PRs that the company put out. But we found those aren't going to amount to anything either. Just like the company's 15-year history, these recent two acquisitions, one of of a company called Wildfire Media, which owns 1-800 Law Firm. Another one is a Chilean mine, but both of them, and I think shareholders should realize that these aren't going to amount to anything either.
Does that mean that people are sort of looking at this and thinking, you know, when you're looking at this, do you think that, you know, the number of times that they've done this, are people just getting tired of this now? Are people starting to see through it?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Roger, because I believe that most people that buy this stock realize it's a worthless piece of shit. It's not hard to take a look at their past news releases and showing all the failed acquisitions. It's not hard to just go on Yahoo Finance and see, oh, they have zero revenues. But I believe most people are buying it because of a gimmick where, in fact, we can go into more details later on this, which I will. Also, people are welcome to see our report. It's on our website. But it's basically they have some gimmick where they make up this digital dividend when you short a stock, you're supposed to pay the dividend. So by creating this digital dividend out of nowhere, the short sellers can't pay that dividend. And so the theory is that's going to cause a short squeeze because the short sellers are going to have to cover their shares. Now, what's kind of wrong about this is there really isn't that many people, there aren't that many short sales out there. That's kind of like, why this theory kind of goes to the wayside. But there's some rumor that one short seller owns short like 100 million shares. In reality, there's probably only about a million shares short out of the 240 million shares outstanding or so.
So it ran about sort of 40 basis points short interest at the moment or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's not particularly onerous. So you talked about that. Is that going to be one of the catalysts then? Is this potential for the rumor behind the digital dividend that caused the short squeeze is another of the mirages, basically? And now that mirage has effectively been found out, that the fear behind that potential short squeeze is now receding?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that's going to be exposed soon. It's not going to happen. It's never happened in history of the stock market. There's been some cases, which we'll go into later, like with Overstock and some others, where there's some digital dividends going to cause some massive short squeeze. That doesn't actually happen. But the reason why so many people are buying the stock because they believe it will happen is because the promotion is promoting this very thing. The head promoter of this company is named Jackass. That's a Twitter. His Twitter profile is Jackass. He actually got his account banned, but then it got reinstated in February. And since February into today, so about 1 month time, he's tweeted over 2,000 tweets. 90% are on GTII. So him and there's a few other pumpers as well that are pumping the stock.
So from a perspective of, this thing ebbs and flows with these tweets, with this effectively sounds like it's an attempted media manipulation potentially. When you're approaching that, when you're looking at that, okay, this is a sort of serial manipulator of the media in maybe a relatively low-key way, but with quite a big impact because it's a relatively low-cap stock. How does someone look at that? When you're looking at that, how do you sort of say, okay, this now is so obvious and so many people now see this as obvious. Are we seeing a diminishing return from those tweets, from those campaigns?
Well, they're trying to, boost the stock price all the time. And they're constantly getting new people buying, new people coming in, maybe they get bored of it after a while and they sell. But the reason why I'm talking right now about this is because there's actually another catalyst as well. And that's that they gave 6 million shares to their investor relations firm in December of 2020. Now, back then, the stock was trading for about 10 cents a share. So 6 million shares wasn't that big of a deal. But now that the stock's trading over a buck, 6 million shares is quite a lot of money, for an investor relations firm. So they started, now the investor relations firm, they received the 6 million shares that were given, but GTII needs to take off a restrictive legend to allow them to sell the shares. So they have the shares, they just can't sell them. And you can imagine 6 million shares would do a number on the share price. The volume is only about 100 to 200,000 shares a day. So even if it was like, 20,000 shares sold a day, 6 million shares, that's going to definitely cause a plummet in the share price.
So with these guys, they've got this 6 million. Now, is their restriction going to disappear soon? Because you talked about this being a catalyst. Are they going to be able to get out there into the market? Is this something which they're going to be freed if they want to do this? Because obviously it's a big number, as you said. And I looked at, you're right in terms of the number of shares a day. I think it's 235,000, which is, compared to 6 million, is tiny. And at the margin, even more. So this is a big, big overhang. Is that coming live soon?
I think so. It's hard to say when it's going to happen, but you can look on Pacer. They actually started the lawsuit in October of 2021. The plaintiff is called International Monetary. They're an investor relations firm for a lot of microcap, you know, shitcos, penny stocks, and yeah, they're suing global tech industries, saying, "Let us sell these shares. You promised, you paid us in shares." GTI does everything with shares. Like they have no cash, so they pay for everything with shares. And there's nothing at all in the lawsuit. GTI doesn't give any explanation on why they're not going to let them sell the shares. They don't have a leg to stand on. I mean, they hired this firm to promote the stock. It's in the firm's best interest for the stock price to go up. You know, it's in both the best interest for the stock price to go up. Also for the, you know, investor relations firm, because they're getting paid in shares. And the stock price went up. So there's nothing in there saying they can't sell the shares if the stock goes to a certain level. The GTI never said, okay, they did a bad job as an investor relations firm, which isn't true. They did their job. So they should be able to sell the shares. There's nothing that would suggest that they're going to lose this lawsuit.
So you've got this catalyst potentially coming, the restrictions coming off a very large overhang. You've got the catalyst that the short squeeze from the digital dividend, which is kind of always thrown out there to try and get the short squeezed out of the market. That's now pretty much in the price. But what are the other things? You've talked about some other things on this stock, which are clear indications of basically trying to build a story where perhaps there isn't one. And you've talked about sort of art, digital art, stuff like that. Can you maybe give us a bit of a flavor of some of these other things which are out there, which this is a company that's doing things, again, to create an image, to create a buzz, but around stuff that doesn't really exist?
Right. So that's actually connected to this digital dividend. It's actually art tokens is what the company's looking to give out. So in April 2021, GTII signed a contract with an art gallery owner called Ronald Cavalier, and he received 200,000 shares. Like I said, you know, the company throws their shares all over the place because they don't have any cash. But he was given 200,000 shares, which were worth over $400,000 at the time, simply for buying a print from a famous artist. So on April 23rd, Cavalier engineered to purchase a Picasso print for only $32,700. So basically, he was paid $400,000 in shares to just find a print for the company to buy for $33,000. That's something that anybody could have done. That Picasso print, along with an acquired Andy Warhol print that the company owns, those are the assets that are going to be behind their art token. So they filed an S-1 in December of 2021 that they're going to try to register 26 million art tokens. And it says in the S-1 that the value of the art that the tokens represent is only $67,000 or $68,000. So a $68,000 valuation puts the value of each token at a quarter of a penny per token, because there's 26 million tokens. So each one is worth a quarter of a penny. Now, what's interesting is the S-1 also states, you know, the company is mindful that there's a lot of uncertainties here with this initial coin offering. They call it, you know, an ICO. The ARC token is like a coin offering. But the SEC has never approved this sort of thing before. And so it's already been almost 4 months, and the SEC hasn't responded. The shareholders right now, they're hoping that once the ARC tokens get approved, then the short sellers are going to have to cover their shares because they can't generate, you know, an ARC token. Like I'm short GTII. I can't generate the ARC token. You know, it's a unique, you know, digital dividend for them. So the theory is I'm going to have to cover my shares because I can't provide that ARC token, which is all nonsense, you know. But this digital dividend short squeeze gimmick has been attempted before and failed. And the most the biggest one was with Overstock, and I showed some tweets. You can see some tweets. You know, they're admitting, hey, everyone knows that GTI is a worthless company. We know it is, but it's going to cause the mother of all short squeezes once these, you know, art tokens are approved. And in fact, there actually was a tweet kind of illustrating it with a meme of Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, and it's showing GTI is slapping Cramer Incorporated, which I think is some mystical company that they think is short 100 million shares. And the way GTI is going to beat that short seller is by issuing the ART token.
So it sounds like basically it's a company that uses kind of buzzwords, buzz themes, buzz memes to always try and generate a squeeze. So actually its main principle business operation is to get the share price up through a short squeeze and not actually through a real operation.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the company doesn't outright say that. They just keep going on with their BS acquisitions. But it's sort of like among shareholders and among the pumpers, they're saying, hey, you know, this company's probably not worth very much, if not worthless, with the zero revenues and the acquisitions not going through. But there's going to become a huge short squeeze when they get their ART tokens approved, which I don't think it ever will be approved because it's already been 4 months, you know, and the SEC hasn't even, you know, done anything about it, hasn't even said anything about it.
I guess the question I'd have from the sort of the risk management side of it is that, what if, and it sounds like, you've been answering why most of the short squeeze reasons have already been addressed, have already happened, but could Jackass mobilize the Reddit-type crowd, like we've seen on some of these other meme stocks, and get a squeeze out of nowhere? Or has that really already been tried and we've seen it now exhausted?
Well, I think it's already came from 60 cents in October, and now it's at $1.60. It's kind of languishing here. You know, there is the constant promotion on Twitter about it. But I think that the main thing is there's just 6 million shares. You know, obviously, like I said, the investor relations, they might be able to sell that soon. But also, I think that the ART token meme is kind of growing old right now.
So if you're approaching this sort of from a strategic viewpoint, let's say someone kind of agrees with this thesis, would you probably build positions into this? Because what we're really looking for here is maybe some movement to the downside to be the catalyst for those longs to come in and go, the game's up and here we go. Because it sounds like it's that sort of little bit of a battle between, okay, there's always that little bit of a risk of a short squeeze in this environment with meme stocks. But once you get a little bit of momentum on the downside going, then there's potentially this long position overhang, or not overhang, but this long position, which is sitting there ready to be converted into long sales. Is that kind of how you'd approach this, so that you sort of build your positions, let it fall, and then hopefully there'll be that trapdoor moment when, yeah, you realize the squeeze game's over, the digital dividend's over, the 6 million shares are coming to the market because the restrictions have been lifted?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously you want to be careful. You know, it is a penny stock constantly being promoted. But the market cap is pretty hefty right now. It's about 400 million. So I think probably the prudent thing to do is just start a short position here around 150, and then every time it spikes, you know, short more, and then if you think it's starting to collapse, then you can maybe you want to ramp up your short position as it's falling. You know, people have to figure out their own risk tolerance, what they want to do.
So summarizing that all together, I mean, it sounds like there's a few elements to this, but if you could maybe just sort of do the quick sequencing of, you know, there's the couple of main things here that we're looking for. I know we've talked about them, but just to remind us, you're looking for two catalysts. One, they're playing out as we speak. The Twitter-based, the social media-based pumping of it has probably run its course, so that momentum seems to be waning. But now in some ways, the risk, the sort of neutral risk here is that there's a lot of longs that may just want to get to the exit fairly soon.
Yeah, So that's correct. So there's the the high market cap of the company, the constant promoting of acquisitions that never amount to any revenues or very little revenues over the 15-year history of the company. You know, the two people that are running the company are basically mostly just one guy, David Reichman. He's the one that's just putting through all these fake acquisitions. People are going to realize what they own over time. You know, a zero revenue, basically just a shell. It's just an empty company, and then they have to think about, you know, how long are they going to wait for this ART tokens thing to happen? It's already been 4 months. Are they going to wait a year? At some point, the SEC is going to have to respond to the company if they haven't already. If it turns out that ART tokens are not going to happen, then the people that were buying because they're hoping for the digital dividend short squeeze, all those people are going to sell. So those are the main thesis, and then of course the 6 million shares. Once that gets worked out and the restrictive ledger is taken off, that investor relations firm can sell their 6 million shares whenever they want.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's you know, it's a fascinating world, and lots of as always with these things, there's so many of these things you scratch your head and kind of go, God, how does that get? Have they not been investigated for making all these false acquisitions in the first place? But interesting stuff. Thank you very much, Adam.
Yeah, thank you for having me.